Ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, truth seekers and lovers of truth, welcome to another episode of No. But seriously, let me explain. Hosted by the radiant razor-sharp earth angel herself, Lala DeVee. This isn't just a podcast, baby. It's your sanctuary for bold business gems, next-level resources, amazing credit secrets, and real-deal relationship talk that'll shift your whole mindset in the best way. Bookmark this page, hit subscribe, and turn on those notifications, because missing out is not an option. If your credit's in struggle mode, don't trip. Text HELP, my credit, to 507-400-3426, and let our live agents work their magic. Real people, real help. Now that business is handled, let's get into the brilliance. Lala DeVee, do your thing, girl.
What's up, what's up, what's up? What's good, fam? Welcome back to another episode of No, But Seriously, Let Me Explain. I am your lovely host, your emotional tour guide, and your certified I told you so companion. And today, baby, we got a good one for you, okay? So go ahead and get comfortable, uncross your legs, unclench your jaw, fix your posture, chin up, chest out, because some of y'all have been totally walking around like love punched you right in the throat and sprinted away. Because today's episode, yeah, we're talking about the players. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking the smooth Rico Suave Denzel back in the 90s type of players, neither. I'm talking the treat women like disposable options, then cry about it in the dark when it backfires type of energy. Yes, that player right there. You know, the type I'm talking about, the one who swear they detached from you, but somehow they keep checking your story like it's a breaking news headline or something. The ones who act like they ended things, but be outside your emotional window screaming, "You don't miss me? For real? That's how you gonna do me?" Yeah, them. Those right there. Before we really just get into the foolishness, the manipulation, the fake indifferences, the imaginary rebound relationships, the remorse, the dramatic apologies, the whole "let me roll around in these streets for a little minute to communicate my feelings" type of syndrome. Let me just ask you something, and it's a serious question. A question that I really want you to just sit with and ask yourself, at what point do you really realize someone is treating you like an option, a disposable option? You know, it doesn't even deserve access to you as a person type of option. Like, not a text, not your energy, not your forgiveness, not your presence, not your body, not your attention. At what point do you decide, I deserve better than someone treating me like they're just on some emotional playground or somebody's karma lesson in human form? Like, sit with that for a second, because sometimes the closure you're looking for ain't a conversation. It's really fully understanding the assignment. They played stupid games, they won stupid prizes, and you walked away with peace, clarity, and your dignity intact. Now, let's just really get into today's episode, because somebody out there somewhere now have definitely tried to run games on you like you ain't got no brain, boundaries, or blessings in abundance, okay? And let's talk about it. Let's talk about the faking, the detachment, the jealous traps, the manipulation, and the absolute chaotic circus they created for themselves. I want you to go grab a drink, grab your notes, and your emotional support snack, because when I really just break this down, you're gonna laugh a little bit. You're gonna learn something too. And you might just rethink a few phone numbers you've been keeping around for just in case moments. No, baby. By the time you finish listening to this, you're gonna be deleting everybody, putting everybody on the burning block, everybody on that chopping block today. No, but seriously, why do you feel men need to treat women like disposable options only to regret it later? Like, Men who play the disposable option game usually fall into three categories. They're either the ego-driven player, and these are the chin-up, chest-out types, like the men who believe attention is infinite. Options are unlimited. The women are replaceable options. They treat these women like they're auditioning cast members for the role that they don't even have a budget for. Like, they don't have no budget for this film, sir. And then they convince themselves, oh, she ain't going nowhere. Oh, she'll be back. I'm the prize. Say what? I mean, they really just underestimate you because they misunderstand the difference between attention and attachment, between options and opportunity. They assume that you're just one more person to their roster of emotional placeholders until you stop being available, until you stop responding, until you stop caring, until you stop crying, and suddenly their ego deflates like a sad birthday balloon. And then the next one that you really have is the immature manipulator. And we all know this type, okay? These men, they think emotional games keep things exciting. It's fun to have a little chaos outside, acting toxic as ever, just for some type of emotional reaction. They fake detachment. They pretend they don't care. They flirt with other people publicly. They tend to create imaginary rebounds and then try to make you chase them. Why? Well, that's because manipulation gives them the illusion of control. But here's the thing about emotional games. Eventually, someone stops playing. And when that someone is you, that reality will hit their ass like an emotional and spiritual frying pan. And then, not to mention, we got these unhealed hurt boys out here, okay? And that will be the third type. Now, not all players are competent. Some of these guys are wounded, okay? Majority of them anyway. Like, they tend to treat women like disposable options because real intimacy scares them. Vulnerability feels dangerous. And they don't trust love. So they equate detachment with power. They think emotions are weakness. So instead of stepping up, they step out and sabotage. They push away what they really want, and then they cry about losing it. So when does the regret really kick in for these guys? Because the weight, oh man, that's gonna trigger them. They looking around like, oh, she didn't chase me. And then they have this brief realization like, what's going on? This is when they expect you to collapse emotionally, but instead you just got quiet. Instead, you just healed. Instead, you minded your own business. Instead, you just got super fine time. Like, you done turned into fine shit around this piece. Instead, you decided to glow up. And now they're checking your page. What? That particular algorithm don't even love them no more. Regret seeds are planted. Yes. And then you got them sitting here now in a state of confusion. Like, hold on, she was serious? This is the moment when they really realize you're not coming back. After you've cooled down for some time now, it's been weeks, months, maybe years now. You know, like, you cool. Like, you meant that no contact for a reason. You meant that goodbye for a reason. You left for real, not for play. And this is when the panic begins. They just stepped into panic season. So what happens during panic season? Well, I'll tell you. The ego breaks down, and this is when their internal monologue starts arguing with them. They start hearing these inner voices. Bro, you lost her? No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Damn. Like, they start hearing these voices in their heads, and now they're just sitting on the edge of their bed looking like a reflective R&B album cover. Like, I can't really make this up. And with them sitting there just constantly being in their mind, constantly being in their head all the time, it's like, dang, you got all these thoughts. I'm sure you got a headache by now. like the emotional hangover type of headache. And this is typically when loneliness, realization, accountability, and regret jump at them like a spiritual group project all at once. Like everything reminds them of you. Songs triggering, okay? Your old messages painful. Your glow up fatal, okay? And this is the moment regret becomes haunting. Like you're out here really hunting these guys' mind, living in their head rent free. You got penthouse suites up in them things, like yes. And then there's the karma clapback. And this is typically when they go out into the dating world thinking, hey, forget her. I'll just replace her. It's many of you fish out there in the sea. Forget her. But what they didn't really calculate in those thoughts was the dry conversations. They didn't calculate how people who can't match your energy just really start coming towards you and want to just talk for no reason. So they're bored, okay? Then the dates, they feel like chores. There is zero emotional connection. Nobody is offering them what they naturally received from you. And then suddenly, you're irreplaceable. Suddenly, you're the one that got away. Suddenly, you're the one they should have cherished. This is when they finally understand treating women like disposable options means eventually losing someone who was priceless. And baby, let me tell you something real quick, because my cutoff game is vicious. And it really needs to be studied. Sometimes I scare myself because once you're out, you're really out, boo-boo. I can't do nothing for you, bookie butt. What you coming back with? The same? No. Keep that away from me. No. But baby, let me just tell you a little something. I'm about to put y'all on something real quick and let y'all know how it really is out there in these streets. So pull up a chair, clutch your pearls, because the tea I'm about to spill is scalding, okay? So apparently, while I'm over here in my full Empress energy, just glowing and healing, minding my own divine business, there's a man out there somewhere feeling isolated, like he's been exiled from my kingdom or something. And guess what? Guess what card is sitting right in front and center? Judgment. It's review time, baby. Because I know for a fact that his family is literally having a group discussion about me at the holiday table. Like, y'all passing mashed potatoes and my name around. And every time they bring me up, this man gets into defense mode. Like somebody just insulted his mama or something. Tower moment right in front of the ham. Boom. And he's just sitting there thinking about reaching out. Heavy, heavy thoughts, okay? But he's really shook because he knows I'm not the same woman that he fumbled. He can feel that. He can feel that final chapter. Energy creeping in, and now he suddenly wants to heal things and commit. Sir, you had the application in your hand and you threw it in the trash. And now he's realizing he's cursed himself. The day he said he feel like we should just break up because he's not in a position to offer me what I deserve. But baby, he understands what I deserve. But it's funny how clarity comes after chaos. And here's the real gag. He didn't even see me as dream girl quality at first. He treated me like something convenient, something he could just be intimate with while his heart was still stuck on someone else across town. So the man y'all think was so in love with me, child please, his heart was in another zip code at first. But now he's absolutely in an emotional thunderstorm, trying to use someone else to get over me. And it's backfiring horribly. He doesn't even want the girl that he's using. Didn't even want her then and doesn't want her now. He just wanted that sexual gratification that came along with getting a girl. That's it. That's all. But oh, the audacity. Yes,
He really thought I was gonna be somewhere crying and devastated, begging for a second chance at his Dollar Tree love story. Meanwhile, I've been abstinent for 16 months and I could care less what's in his pants or who he's arguing with. Like, he swears the only reason why I'm not running back to him is because I'm sleeping with someone else. No, baby. No, sweetheart. I'm just not sleeping with you. Okay? So what he really didn't realize was I'm a high priestess, which pretty much means I felt everything he was doing in that separation. Every lie he told, every breadcrumb, every wandering emotion felt. I knew he was entertaining someone else long before he even admitted it to himself. And now those bad decisions have turned into a whole karmic sitcom. And he signed up with some type of toxic relationship, baby chains, and now there's some type of alleged baby involved that's not even his, and a rerun of a lesson that he already failed before. Life hit repeat and he pressed play. There's money tied into his legal issues and karmic debt, and he's in spiritual bankruptcy, and now my spirit team is like, hey, I don't play about you. You're my spirit baby, okay? And they've got cosmic security guarding his gates. He's blocked. Blocked from contacting me. Blocked from investigating. Blocked from investing in me. Blocked from even getting a smile from me, okay? He can't even get near an empress when he's still wrestling demons in the basement. And that's just the sad truth. Now, while I got y'all in story mode, okay, I have another story that I pulled out the queue, and it's a good one for y'all. I call this Mr. I Got Options, okay? Let me tell you about Marcus. Marcus was that kind of guy that always showed up with his fresh haircut, you know, nice smile, gym membership that he used once in April, and the confidence level that could probably, you know, power a small city or something. Now, he met Tayana, okay? She was smart, she was soft-hearted, funny. She had a natural glow about herself, one that you just can't buy. But Marcus, he wasn't ready, or so he told himself that. He played the fake detachment game. He left her on red several times. He flirted with other girls on Instagram, you know, exchanged photos here and there, you know, even was out and about getting numbers from girls too. Like, he just didn't care. Okay. He even posted new beginning quotes, like he was someone's inspirational gym coach. Like, he pretended he was talking to someone new, but the new person was really his phone on Do Not Disturb. And Tayana, she noticed it all. She gave him chances after chances. She even dished out a couple warnings here and there. But ultimately, she gave him the grace. And so one day, she said, I'm done. Okay, and she really meant it. Marcus thought that she was just out here bluffing. He thought that she was being dramatic, you know, overly emotional, and really too clingy for his liking. And he thought she'd eventually spin the block. Eventually, okay? I mean, this girl, she didn't do none of that, okay? She leveled up. Her peace got louder. Her glow got brighter. And her energy got even more expensive. Meanwhile, Mr. Marcus out here trying to connect with random women who didn't even know how to hold real conversations. 2 weeks from freedom turned into 2 months of regret. And one night stands here and there, you know, little casual flings there and there, you know what I'm saying? He was that type of player. But one night, while he was sitting on his bed, scrolling through his old messages, it really just hit him. He didn't lose Tayana. He lost access to a woman he loved, who supported him, who cared for him, who respected him, and who would have done life with him. All because he wanted to play detachment games and test her loyalty. Like she was a toy and he was a TSA agent. Karma didn't need to punish him. His regret did that on its own. He treated her like an option, and now she's his lesson, and she's a distant memory. And that just goes to show that some guys tend to move on quickly because they live this delusional illusion of abundance and fantasy that the dating world is a bottomless buffet of great women. And they're just sitting around waiting to be chosen like an Amazon Prime package. And then they get pissed off because they can't win at a game that they created. Please make it make sense. Like, they're really out here confusing access with option. Just because you can message 20 people doesn't mean 20 people are compatible with you, okay? Just because somebody replies to your dry message doesn't mean that they're the person for you, okay? And a lot of the times, it's just attention. And attention is easy, but that doesn't mean connection is. So they tend to hop around thinking, oh, I'll just find somebody else like her. There's plenty more people out there. And that right there is the delusion. Because women who are loyal, women who are emotionally intelligent, patient, supportive, healing, soft, present, nurturing, and still know how to mind their business, they're not just readily available to you, okay? Yeah, that's not a common export, okay? That's a luxury brand, if you will. And so when these guys treat a good woman like she's easily replaceable, they don't understand the math behind it. They don't realize that they're losing a rare connection while chasing common distractions. And when those distractions lack depth, when those distractions lack loyalty, they lack chemistry, connection, or soul, that's when the regret hits them. Okay, that's when it all comes full circle, and that's when they begin to realize great women aren't at your fingertips. Great women are in your prayers, and they don't come around twice. You can't just pray for me, baby, then try to treat me like an option, a disposable option at that. No. And not to mention, like, we see these celebrity relationships, you know, fully just unraveling before our eyes because we got front row seats to their drama. Like, it's a news being played, okay? It's highlights, okay? It's reels made on their honors, you know? Like, look at Ray J. You know, Ray J, he has this very long and messy history when it comes to fame and relationships and public drama. Like, recently, he made the headlines again. Not just off of the whole baby mama or ex-wife drama where he allegedly pulled a gun on her, you know, and the kids, trying to take the kids away. Like, he was saying, hey, nobody's gonna keep my kids away from me. And he acted a whole fool. But no, that's not the only thing. This time he has some type of defamation lawsuit with Kim Kardashian, and I think her mom. Like, they're suing him, accusing him of making baseless claims. Like, his pattern of leveraging past relationships, flame, and controversy just ties into playing stupid games type of energy. Treating relationships like, you know, narrative assets or clout play. Then dragging other people into it, you know, whether emotionally or legal drama, when things don't go his way. Like, this particular guy, he's just one of them. And then we have Kevin Gates on the other hand. Like, I love his music. Like, he does make some good music. I'm not gonna lie. But Kevin Gates is a perfect example of this episode because his recent relationship, Saga, just really checks a lot of the boxes of manipulation, mixed signals, heartbreak, and the very public regret that we're currently seeing now. Like, let's just look at it. Like, his romance with Brittany Renner. Kevin Gates and Brittany Renner appeared together in an Instagram live video, holding hands, laughing, vibing to Candy Rain. Like, that sparked major speculation ever since, you know, there was a ring involved at a red carpet event, okay? Brittany, she referred to Kevin Gates as her husband, okay? And showed off some type of big exclusive diamond ring. Shortly after, she made a surprising announcement. Like, hey, they got married, but then they divorced just in 52 days. Like, it was a whole whirlwind in and out relationship type of marriage. And it was displayed on social media for us all to see. And then they split, okay? However, with that 52-day marriage being over, I know there's likely regret, or at least the public version of regret. You know, the courting scandal, the splitting so quickly, and then having multiple women publicly weigh in on how he treated them. It's a disaster, okay? And I'm just trying to really figure out why these celebrities, you know, are out here still treating people like disposable options, like publicly, okay? It's public manipulation. Okay, both Ray J and Kevin Gates show how emotional manipulation can be very much public. They use social media, rumors, and relationship theater to control how people see them and how people chase them, playing games with real people. These aren't just fictional stories either. Real people are hurt here, okay? Real relationships are tangled. And the games, these games they play, they don't stand behind closed doors either. They spill right into public interviews, right into courtrooms, and into social media. And then the regret comes in, but it's expensive. These relationships fall apart in front of our eyes, okay? And it's really not like yours, because yours is more so in the private. It's not too many people that know you publicly. So you can kind of get away with certain things in a sense, but not really. It's just mainly between the fam and the friends, if they know you that well, okay? But let me just tell you something about how my future husband is about to be, okay? Because he's most definitely not about to play about his wifey, okay? Like, my soon-to-be husband, he's literally going to be like, oh, I'm with her and all her bullshit type of energy, okay? Like, he's already gonna know what I mean, and he's not gonna care. Like, he's gonna know that I'm moody, and he's not gonna care. He's gonna know that I got a little mouth on me, and I can cut down the largest, okay? And he's still not gonna care about that. Like, he's gonna know that I got a little temper here and there, strong enough to knock down a tree branch off of a tree, and he's absolutely not gonna care about that. He's gonna know that she might got a little trust issues in there, and he's not gonna care about those, okay? He's already gonna come in knowing I have a kid, and he's not gonna give a damn, okay? He's gonna know that I'm a little bit hyper independent, like I'd rather build a whole house from scratch before I ask for help, and he's still not gonna care. Like, he's really going to be just looking at me like, oh, she barely liked me, but at least I know she's loyal because she barely likes me, okay? And in his mind, it's just, I'd rather be with her and all her bullshit type of energy. And that's because that's exactly what he wants. He wants me and bullshit included if it comes with me, okay? But You guys know me real good. You know, I don't come with that much bullshit. Yeah, I already know I don't, but baby. Okay, so I just want to really say, beware, women, okay? If you ever just so happen to meet one of those men that I mentioned, or let alone one of them, a man that embodies all three categories, he's an ego-driven player, he's the immature manipulator, and the unhealed hurt boy. Sis, that's just like dealing with a red flag. And we're not dealing with red flags, okay? You know, that's more like a red day parade, complete with confetti, fireworks, and a marching band, babe. So, girl, run, okay? And I mean fast. Get a follower, okay? We have come to a very short commercial break, paid for by our lovely sponsors. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back after this message.
Have you ever wanted professional advice for your relationship? Do you want to see the different sides to every relationship? Are you ready to take your relationship to the next level? Every relationship isn't always rainbows and sunshine. Most of the time, there are arguments, struggles, and miscommunication that can lead to losing the connection with your partner. Don't make that mistake. Learn from the stories of others and read corresponding relationship advice to help you understand how to respond if you ever find yourself in this position. Make the most out of your relationships and go after the man of your dreams with guidance on the do's and don'ts of every relationship. Discover real life experiences. There's no better teacher than real life. With true relationship stories, learn from their failures and successes without having to go through the pain yourself. Professional advice. At the end of every story, you'll find relationship advice to help you understand what to do when you're faced with a similar situation. Never feel lost and confused ever again. Securing your relationship. From tips on attracting your soulmate to keeping the relationship fresh and spicy, to ensure that your relationship will stay happy and healthy no matter how much time has passed. Relationship guidelines. Discover the top things to have in common with your partner to ensure a successful long-term relationship. A foolproof and universal guide that always works. Get rid of the confusion and anxiety that comes with uncertainty in relationships and add value to your relationship by implementing the advice and guidance found in this easy-to-follow book. Achieve the relationship of your dreams when you order Find a Man, Keep a Man, professional advice and real-life stories to help you understand your partner. Now available on Amazon, Google Play, and Kindle. Order your copy today.
But it's really all about recognizing the combination. And that part is not really a challenge. It's more like a hazard zone, but not, you know, nothing too serious. Like, this type of man that embodies all three, this man is not a project, okay? And don't you dare think this man is a part of your mission, because he ain't, okay? This man is most definitely not your purpose either, or your ministry, or your emotional internship. And this man that's really just layered with all three emotional little problematic situations, like, I'm sure he's gonna be full of ego issues, control tactics, and unprocessed trauma. And you back here peeling it back, you know, like onions, you know, peeling them back in layers and stuff, it's gonna have you in tears, bookie butt. Okay. So just call it what it is. It's not potential. It's not chemistry. It's a danger zone, okay? So just be careful. And when you do encounter any of the three, and then let alone the one that has all three, you need to detach before you can even physically attach yourself to this man. Because a lot of the times, women tend to get stuck in these cycles because they disconnect their bodies before really disconnecting their hearts. But when you got a man that embodies all three, it's really wise for you to really just back up, clock out mentally, and then walk out. Like, you really got to start saying to yourself, hey, love, this isn't love. Like, this is confusion. Or this isn't connection, this is chaos. He's not misunderstood, he's misaligned. And I know a lot of times women feel like we can take on a man's problems, you know, help heal him, show him the way. But when your mind attaches, the rest of it is easy. So just stop trying to heal this man, because he's not ready for healing. You cannot heal someone who's defending their wounds and still licking them. You cannot help someone who weaponized their pain. And you most definitely cannot love someone out of manipulation. And it's more so because this man is egotistical. He's emotionally immature. He's using games. He's lying. He's avoidant. He's unhealed. And most importantly, he's inconsistent. So, girl, you're not dating a man. You're babysitting an adult with a childlike ego. and it's overgrown at that. Okay, so just release yourself from the spiritual volunteer work. You know, build some boundaries like brick walls, okay? Like, this type of man respects one thing, and that's limits. Not love, not softness, not empathy, not grace. He only respects what blocks him. So your boundaries must be clear. Your boundaries must be non-negotiables. Your boundaries must be consistent. And your boundaries, most importantly, have to be unapologetic, okay? Because if he can't meet them, then he shouldn't be able to meet you, okay? Choose yourself before you really get pulled into his spiral ripple effect. And then it's downhill from there. Because a man with all three of these traits will definitely pull you into a cycle of trying, you hoping that things get better, you trying to repair, rebuild, you constantly explaining yourself and trying to explain why you feel this way and why you feel like y'all should be doing this. You out here being patient, forgiving, and starting over, all while he does absolutely nothing to grow, okay? This is the type of relationship version that is similar to really carrying a couch up a hill by yourself, okay? Save your back, save your spirit, and choose you. Because you can absolutely walk away in confidence and not confusion. When a man has all three of these traits showing up in one man, he's most definitely not ready for that partnership that you're trying to give him, bookie butt. And he doesn't know how, you know? He doesn't know how to love you. He don't know who he is, and he doesn't know what he wants. And that type of energy will break anyone who tries to love him. Leaving isn't dramatic, and leaving isn't cold. Leaving isn't heartless. Leaving is self-preservation. And the gag is, when you finally leave, he's gonna call it abandonment. But hey, that's just actual graduation for you, bookie butt. Abandonment issues is probably something he has on his own. So understand this. Whenever you do cross a man that has all three of these character traits, that doesn't mean that he needs you. He needs therapy, bookie butt, okay? Deep therapy at that. Consistent therapy, inner child therapy, shadow work therapy, accountability and reflection. Like, let this man be. Let him go and be with somebody else that's toxically intoxicating as he is, okay? Like, he needs healing that a relationship alone will never provide. And I don't need you feeling bad because your love cannot fix his trauma that keeps on breaking. Like, you're not his therapist. So move forward without looking back, because once a woman leaves a situation that's harmful, you will evolve, you will grow, you will get better. And then you will eventually walk into a version of yourself that you couldn't even become with someone like this holding you down. Imagine having heavy anchors on your feet and you're trying to excel and this anchor just keeps bringing you down. And that's exactly the type of relationship you will be stuck in if you allow that. And the moment you step into that light without these weights, oh, trust me, baby, he's most definitely gonna regret losing you before you even realize that you're finally free. Just always keep in mind that the moment you let go, you have to continuously keep that same energy, because the healing process don't begin right away. It begins when you go no contact. I know I have filled y'all up today. And if your edges, your soul, and your last nerve survived today's episode, then go right ahead and pat yourself on the back and give yourself a round of applause. Congratulations, you deserve it. Because we absolutely unpack the entire chin up, chest out player starter pack, from the ego to the delusion, the manipulation, the imaginary rebounds, and the karma. You know, yeah, the karma that keeps doing the Harlem Shake in folks' lives. We unpacked all that, bookie butt. But for real, on a serious note, I'm gonna take this comedy hat off, because you know I can be a little jokester. I'm gonna take that off for a second. I just want to speak to you guys on a serious note real quick, because This episode might have been funny, but I'm so serious in everything that I say. Because when someone absolutely treats you like a disposable option, it's usually because they've never learned how to treat themselves like a valuable person. And hurting people, yeah, they always circle back. Hurt people tend to hurt people. That's what they say, right? But regret hits harder than reality TV edits, and maturity doesn't arrive on time. It shows up like a package. You know, that package you forgot to even order? Yeah, that one. Now, a lot of y'all asked the million-dollar question. People really just wanted to know, is it possible to fix a broken connection long after the damage has already been done? Now, the answer, in my opinion, is yes, but only under a couple of conditions. And I say that a couple conditions because a connection can absolutely be rebuilt when accountability is real, not performative, not romanticized, not sorry, but this, that. No, it can be rebuilt when behavior actually changes, not just with words. You know, you both have to heal individually before reconnecting, and boundaries have to be respected, you know, without any type of debate. Like, trust has to be rebuilt slowly but surely, not demanded instantly. This particular relationship should really become a partnership and not necessarily a power struggle, because you can't rebuild anything with someone who refuses to acknowledge what they broke in the first place. Okay, so let's just say that. But when two grown, honest, and emotionally awake adults come together, yeah, reconciliation is possible. Healing through the madness is possible. Peace is absolutely possible. But just remember this, love don't fix people, but healed people can love better. And don't return to what hurt you unless what hurt you also healed you, okay? And if they haven't healed that aspect, baby, keep it pushing, keep walking, because your destiny does not evolve around you taking emotional detours back to dysfunction. Besides, you're definitely on someone's wish list, bookie butt. So go ahead and make someone else's dreams come true. And if someone treated you like a throwaway, don't sweat it, because God is going to bless you the same way that he has continued to bless your life. Like, he's going to bless you even harder. That same person who played in your face, he's going to need sunglasses just to look at your life from a distance. And to those guys out there that's feeling like a healed woman is just hard to get, no, she's not hard to get. She's just harder for you to play with. So chin up, chest out, player. Heart healed, stand tall. And the story you're writing, not the one that somebody tried to drag you into, you know. Know your worth. Your worth was never negotiable. Your peace is non-refundable. Your future, listen, straight pressure, okay? And if these raggedy motherfuckers take longer than 24 to 48 hours to respond to you, block them. Simple as that. No, but I'm really serious here. But before I really let y'all go, I'm gonna need y'all to just keep your eyes peeled back, because next time on No, But Seriously, Let Me Explain, we're diving into a topic that's gonna shake the room. And I'm talking about the mask that people tend to wear. Identity in transition. Are we all just actors in a play called life? No. I'm serious. I really want to peel back those layers and see what's really underneath it all. Because, yeah, it's about to get real uncomfortable, enlightening, and low-key hilarious. So you're not going to want to miss it. Thank you for riding with us on this eye-opening journey today. I hope today's episode got your mind buzzing, sparked some deep questions, and maybe even made you rethink everything that you thought you knew. If you found yourself just nodding along, laughing, and wanting to text your best friend, then go right ahead.
hit that share button at the top and spread the word. Somebody needs to hear this. And don't just listen and bounce. Hit that subscribe button and rate the show and leave a review so that we can all keep you serving truth and fire every week. Thank you for tuning into No, But Seriously. Let me explain. The space where we challenge the matrix, break free from illusion, and keep it real with you every step of the way. I am your host, Lala Zavi, coming with all the wisdom, the fire, and the soul medicine. Clock it. Until next time, keep your energy clean, your third eye clear, and your spirit sovereign. Peace, love, and power to all of my beautiful listeners. Stay woke, stay whole, stay rising. You are the power, the magic, the truth. They can try to bury it, but they cannot take it away from you. And remember, the real revolution starts when you wake up and reclaim your mind. Love ya.